As I said, I don't hesitate to say that about John Wesley at all. Somebody needs to in this modern day. Men did it years ago. If you want to read a good message, there's a message by William Huntington entitled The Funeral of Arminianism. The Funeral of Arminianism. And he answered one of the most heretical sermons ever preached. It was by John Wesley on Free Grace, in which John Wesley said, imputed righteousness is imputed nonsense. That's his words exactly. And William Huntington tore him up. And it thrilled my soul to read it. William Huntington was like Stephen. They could not withstand his wisdom. He's just an old coal heaver. He carried coal for a living. No education. But the people of his day saw him as a spiritual giant. And that he was. But John Wesley did much error, much injury to the truth. His brother now, Charles Wesley, for whom your brother, I guess, or your husband, I guess, was named. Now, he's a believer. Charles Wesley, he wrote many great hymns. All right, Matthew 13. You can have a seat. Matthew 13. We've looked at all of these parables before, but we just know in part, don't we? We looked at this on a Wednesday night 3 years ago to the month. We haven't learned anything. That's what he says here in verses 10 through 12. He says, they said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Hopefully the Lord will give us a greater understanding even after tonight. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. This world professes itself to be wise, but they're fools. And I'll tell you how depraved they are and how much they prove their foolishness. God was manifest in the flesh. And every word that proceeded out of his mouth was infinite wisdom. These parables, we could study these for decades and not exhaust them. Simple, earthly stories that reveal spiritual truth, yet wise beyond our understanding. Amazing what our Lord said in these simple stories. And yet the wise don't understand. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent. And to show their foolishness, men don't study these parables. The so-called wise of this world, they're not looking at these parables, are they? Solomon wrote all those Proverbs. Are men looking at the Proverbs? Are they studying the Proverbs? I think there's 800 or 900 we have. He wrote 3,000. Are they looking at those? Any one of which is infinitely wiser than the wisest man on earth today. But are they looking? And the Scripture says, a greater than Solomon was here. Oh, if we have a desire to look into this, and much more, if our ears are open to hear them. Our Lord said, blessed are your ears. If your eyes are open to see the beauty, the glory, the wisdom, oh, how blessed we are. And the hearing ear and the seeing eye are of the Lord. The Lord hath made them both. How blessed. Look at verses 39 and following. The Lord explained this parable to his disciples. And it's much more than a parable, though, because he said in verse 39, the harvest is the end of the world. This is much more serious than just an interesting parable. And it behooves us to know whether or not we're wheat or tare. Because he says in a very solemn, I'm quite sure the Lord said this in very grave tones. He said, the tares are gathered together, verse 40, and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So you see, it's much more serious than just a, you know, learning an interesting parable. And I know our Lord said that with grave voice. My. Lord, give me ears. Let me know. Tell me that I'm a good seed, a wheat. His disciples came. They wanted to know, Lord, what do you mean by this parable? And he told them. He told them. Now look at the explanation. Verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Our Lord very plainly, this will be a very plain message, because our Lord made it very plain, very clear. And telling them, look up at verse 36. He sent the multitudes away, as he did to explain the first parable to his disciple. And here he sent the multitudes away and privately told them the meaning of this parable. And he does it very plainly. Thank the Lord for that. He said, a man sowed, verse 24 said, in his field. His field. The field is a world. And he said, this man sowed in his field. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We almost sung that song, this is my Father's world. And it is. God never has relinquished ownership of this world. The God of this world doesn't own it. The Lord has just given him some rule in it, according to God's purpose. It's still God's world. The kingdoms of the earth are the Lord's. Oh, yes, they are. And he puts over them whom he will. This world belongs to the Lord. They that dwell therein, all souls are mine, he said. All right? Now, he said there are two people in this world, two types of people in this world. Only two. Doesn't matter. Nothing matters but whether they are found in one of these two groups. There are tares and there are wheat. That's it. Nothing else matters. In other places, here he said children of the wicked one and children of their father in heaven. In another place he said goats and sheep, didn't he? In another place the world, not of the world. Another place, the dead and the alive. Or in another place, in Adam or in Christ. The only two. It matters not. Nothing else matters. Who you are, where you're from, what you have, what you know, what you can do, what you look like, what you wear, doesn't matter. Only one of two, one thing matters. Where are you found? In Adam or in Christ? In Adam, they all die. In Christ, made alive. The story of the Titanic. On board that ship were 2,228 people. They were rich. They were poor. They were famous. They were nobodies. Common. There were noble people. There were commoners. There were male, female, old, young, black, white. But when that ship went down, after it was all over, they put a list on the board. Saved, lost. Didn't tell anybody whether they were a doctor, lawyer, What they owned, what they knew, didn't matter then, did it? All that matters was saved or lost. Saved or lost. Tares or wheat. Tares or wheat. Mm. Serious, isn't it? That's why Paul, and this is why Paul said this. And I know he said it from his heart, and he said it with great seriousness. He said, "Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness." He went on to say this, because this is what it means to be in Him. "Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ." By the faith of Christ. Mm. "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him." And by that, you know what he meant by that. You know he didn't mean you work for Him and then you win Him. No, no. It means that He's the prize. He's the prize of the high calling of God. God gives you that gift. All right. It's the Lord's field. The world. He owns it all. All souls are mine. Did not He say, "Cannot I do with mine own what I will? Cannot God save whom He will and pass by whom He will?" Whom He will. Not of him that willeth, of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Right? He saveth whom He will. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. The children being not yet born, neither having done any works, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said unto her, "The elder shall serve the younger." As it is written, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." What do you say to these things? Terrors don't like that. The people of this world don't like that. They don't like that at all. The good seed do. They know if it wasn't God's will, I would never have been willing. He hadn't made me willing. If He hadn't chosen me, I would have never chosen Him. See, they believe all people are God's children. Now, is that so serious to say that? That all people are God's children? What did Jesus Christ just say? This is how serious it is. When men say that, when men stand up and say that, they're not only lying to men, people, who have not yet repented, who fear not God, who have no need of God, and they're giving Him a false sense of peace and comfort, but they're lying on God. And that's offensive. God is angry with them. And they're calling Jesus Christ a liar. Did He not plainly say, they're the children of the devil and the children of the Father? Did He not say that? He looked at some Pharisees one time and He said, "You're of your father, the devil." Didn't He? And so for a man to stand up and say, all are God's children, is to call Jesus Christ a liar. It's just that serious, people. It's not just a little difference of doctrine. It's calling God a liar. Let God be true. Every man alive. And God's people say amen to that. And they all know if He hadn't given me to Christ, I would have never come to Christ. They all know that if He hadn't adopted me, I never would have applied for it. If He hadn't chosen me, right away we know the difference between the tares and the wheat. All right, who determines who's good seed and who's bad seed? Huh? It says the good seed, verse 38, are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Good seed, bad seed. Good seed, bad seed. Good man, bad man. Who determines that? What determines that? Well, it's in the answer there. Verse 37. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. It's His seed. He's the one that makes it good. He's the one that sows it. Did He not say to Nicodemus, who thought He was a good man, "You must be born again"? He looked right at that Pharisee, that teacher, that scholar, and said, "You must be born again." meaning he's an unregenerate, lost, unrighteous person. Not good. He hadn't done any good, ever. None that doeth good. Not one. None righteous. No, not one. He looked right. Rich young ruler came up to him. Rich young ruler. And all he wanted to do, really, was brag about what all he'd done. That's all he wanted to do. And in case there was something he missed, and he wanted to know, he wanted to find out from this teacher. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't know who this was. He knew he was a good teacher. And he came up, and all he wanted to find out from him is what more he needed to do to be perfected. Then, good master, he said. First thing out of his mouth, good master. And the Lord immediately said, what? Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. Ooh. Now right there you have your answer, don't you? There's none good but God. None good. He said, if you're calling me good, I'm God. And there's no man on this earth that doeth good. Not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's what the Scripture said. And here Christ came, the just one, the good and holy and righteous Son of God. He came. Who convinces me of sin? All right, what did he do when he came here? Why did he come here? To show us how to live like him so that if we'll just live right, we can be just like him and be good people like him. Nothing could be further from the truth. He came to establish righteousness. Not to tell us how to have one, perform one, but to establish it and give it to him, charge it to him. He was making a robe, a wedding garment, a covering for naked sinners, for filthy sinners who were wearing rags. And he was working out our righteousness. Seamless robe. Like the Father, and he puts this on his people. Like the Father said, bring the best robe and don't offer it to him. Put it on him. Clothe him with it. Impute it to him. Charge it to him. Impart it in him. Self-righteous people, as I said last week about another parable, they just want to know what they can do to get better. They don't want to hear so much about what Christ has done. They want to hear more about what we can do to be like him. Now, I want to be like him too. But I know this. I can't make myself like him. Can't do it. Can't do it. And I'll tell you this. Let me let you in on a secret. To have salvation is to look to Christ. To trust Christ. To believe in him. That soul that on him hath leaned for a foe. Christ said, I'll never, no, never desert to its foe. You look to me. He that hath the Son hath life. Faith. That's it. That's it. All right? You want holiness? Keep looking to him. Godliness comes from looking to him. Not only looking to him to get your strength from him, because without him, you can't do anything. And boy, I'm way ahead of myself now. But he said, you can't bear fruit. You're a branch. I'm the vine. You can't bear any fruit. Branches don't bear fruit. They get it from the root. You can't bear fruit of yourself except you abide in me. His fruit is our fruit. So we get from him the strength, and in looking to him and at him, and the more we look and fall in love with him and see his mercy and his love to us and his grace to us and his forgiveness of us and his pardon of us and how long suffering he is of us, that makes us that way. The law won't do it. Us striving to be that way won't do it. A list of things on our wall won't do it. Putting the scriptures on your wall won't do it. Looking to Christ will. That's a fact. The only way to be like Christ is to look to Christ. Husbands, love your wives. Why? Because the law says so. Mm-mm. As Christ loved the church. You want to know how to love your wives? Let's see how Christ loved his forlorn bride. how he bore with the weaker vessel, how he dwelled with her in understanding. You see, that's the only thing that will make us like Christ. Him. Studying him. That's why we preach Christ. We hold him forth. Not only as our substitute, but our example. All right. He that soweth good seed, Christ is the one that makes us righteous. It's not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. We're born of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel. The gospel of Christ. Seed. Sown in the heart. Seed. 1 John 3. Run over there real quickly with me. 1 John chapter 3. The seed. They're called good seed. Why are we considered good? Why are we considered righteous? Why is God, are God's people considered that way? Well, right here's the answer. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Are you good? Well, there's only one way for God to consider us good. 1 John 3, look at verse 8 and 9. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Do you commit sin? That means you're not born of God, right? No, hold on. There are two people. There's an old man who does nothing but sin. And you will never make him better. You will never make him one whit better. In fact, he gets worse and he stinks worse. And he, the more he lies in sin, the worse he smells and the heavier he gets on your shoulder. And the stronger, the worse, the harder that battle is with him. But there's a new man created in the image of Christ. This is a mystery, but it's so. There's a new man created in the image of God, by the Spirit of God, by the seed of God, by the Word of God, created in the image of Christ, a brand new creature created in Christ Jesus, predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, who grows in grace, although he's perfect, he's holy, he's complete in Christ, but he must grow and mature. But that new man can not sin. Cannot. You understand that? Well, at least in our heads. But that's a fact. How else do you determine it? He that committeth sin. Some say, well, that means he doth not continue in a course of sin. Well, that's true. That's true. But here it says, doth not commit sin. Look, read on. Look at verse 9. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin. He's born of God. Christ in him. Christ in him. Us in Christ. Christ in us. It's a new creature. And we can't see him. God sees him. You can see him in other people. You can't see him in yourself. You look in the mirror, all you see is that old man. You look in the mirror, like James said, and what do you... To look in the mirror, and the older I get, the less I like to look in the mirror. Don't you? And we look in the mirror of God's Word, and what does it show when it shows us ourselves? That in our flesh... telleth no good thing. All we see are blemishes. Blamable. Blamed. Reprovable. In our sight. But that's not the one God looks at. He looks at the one, the new man. Holy. Unblamable. And unreprovable, God said. We see him in others. We see others. We think, they're growing in grace. I'm not. Don't we? We all do that. We see they look like Christ, they sound like Christ, they act like Christ. You don't see that in yourself. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to look for that in yourself. John Bunyan, I think it was, said the three greatest graces of a believer, of a Christian, are these: humility, humility, and humility. That means I am nothing. I am nothing. Humility. Good seed. You're good if you're in Christ. Is that stretching it? No, that's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You're bad if you're outside of Christ. You're accepted in the beloved. You're rejected outside of the beloved. Right? The love of God is where? In Romans 8:29. In Christ Jesus. Love of God. Not outside of Him. You're either in the ark, you're outside of the ark. That's just a fact of the matter. Romans 8:39. You don't make yourself good, and you can't make yourself better. No. He that planteth the good seed is the Son of Man. You see that? He that does the work, it is God that worketh in us, both the will. Why? Why do we labor this point? Because it's true. Why do we labor this point? Because He gets the glory. And to keep us from being puffed up. Keep us from self-righteousness. The self-righteous are an offense to God. If righteousness come by any way, any other way than Christ, He died in vain. That's how serious it is. No. Christ shed His blood. By this, we read that the Son of Man was manifest to put away sin. That's why He came. All right, the children of the wicked one in our text says the enemy sowed them. He's the devil. Children of the wicked one. Son of the devil. Seed of the serpent. Where do we first hear about the serpent seed? Do you remember? All the way back in the garden. There's nothing new here. Our Lord was there. Jesus Christ was the one that was talking to Him and Eve and Adam in the garden. He's the one, the voice of God, that came walking in the cool of the day and talked to the first sinners and told them about the seed. And He said to Satan, first of all, who deceived the woman. All right? He said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed, the serpent's seed, and her seed, which is singular, Christ, and all those in Christ, and all those whom Christ is in. There's going to be enmity. There's going to be a division. There's going to be strife. There's going to be war. There's going to be a difference. God doth put a difference between Egypt and the Israelites. God doth make the difference. He said, these are in Christ, these are out of Christ. This is the seed of Christ given to Christ before the world began. These are not passed by Him. They're children of the devil. Is that hard? It's true. It's true. And our Lord said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed, the serpent, and her seed. And you that shall bruise His heel. It, He said, it, speaking of the woman's seed, that holy thing, it shall bruise thy head, and your seed shall bruise His heel. That's Christ crucified. Christ crucified. So that was the very beginning. The seed, the woman's seed. Now, sown by the devil, go to 2 Corinthians 11. Let me hurry. 2 Corinthians 11. The devil sows this seed much the same way that Christ sows His seed. How does our Lord sow the seed? We just read that. The sower went forth to sow, and he cast it. Preaching. Preaching the word. Preaching the word. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed, weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But preaching, God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching what? Not what. Who? The seed, preaching Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Man preaching Christ, and Christ is becomes our life. It brings forth fruit, faith. But the devil preaches too. And he has his angels that preach. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Paul said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What does that mean, Paul? It means the singularity, the oneness, the onlyness, the fullness, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Just name something. Anything. Come up with something. Somebody come up with something. And you'll find it all in Christ. Salvation. If it has to do with salvation. If it has something to do with sanctification. Has something to do with justification. If it has anything to do with godliness. It's all of Christ. It's all about Christ. In Christ. Of Him. Through Him. To Him. By Him. For Him. It's simply put. It's not simple. It's very amazing and complex, but simply put, Christ is all. And Paul said, I fear lest these scholars and these self-righteous Pharisees who twist and corrupt the Word of God as they do and corrupt your minds from the simplicity, from the pure, clear message of Christ and Him crucified. Any deterrent from that, you get away from that at all. Listen to me. I want to make a statement here. You hear much today about Christ-centered, don't you? I'm starting to dislike that term a lot. Christ-centered. Because everybody's saying it. It's real popular now. He has a Christ-centered message. Christ-centered. Hold on now. Is our message just Christ-centered? Or if it's all Christ? Huh? It's like, oh, you preach works over here, and then you preach Christian duty over here, and then, all right, let's get to the center. Let's get to the core. Now, here's Christ. Oh, no, you can't preach works apart from preaching Christ. Because your works are no good apart from Christ. And it starts with believing Christ. This is the good work. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? Christ said, this is the work of God. Right here's where it starts. And all else falls under this, that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means whatsoever is not looking to Christ, believing on Christ, trusting Christ, that He's your all and in all, your righteousness, God says you're rejected. That's right. Oh, my. Oh, Christ-centered. Oh, no, I want to write an article about that soon, for what it's worth. But Christ-centered? No, we just preach Christ. Preach Christ. Christ is all. Christ is all. Well, all right, where am I? Tares in the wheat, children of the devil, children of God. All right, how are they known? How are they known? We're already given a little clue here. Who plants them? Who planted them? And how? Who planted them? You ask somebody, usually, what comes out, what's in their heart will come out of their mouth. Ask them their hope of glory, their hope of salvation. Generally speaking, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what they say, if it's all Christ, then maybe they're weak. But if it's anything they've done, any decision they've made, if it's a baptism or experience or whatever it may be, they're a tear. They're a tear. But every plant that my Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up, you see. He does the planting. Whose glory is it? Whose will is it? Whose righteousness is it? There's the answer. Now, in the visible church, you know, there's the church that we can't see. They're in glory right now. The church in heaven. There's a kingdom in this earth of God's people, and we don't know who all they are. We don't know. It's impossible sometimes to distinguish. We can't look on the heart. Sometimes they're real close. Like goats and sheep, some of them look alike. Maybe everybody hadn't heard this illustration Brother Bill Clark gave about the goats and the sheep in Africa. But I like it. Do you remember it? Then you don't, then do you? Good. Brother Bill Clark used to go to Africa, and he said, over there are goats and sheep that look just alike. You can't tell the difference. They look just alike. He said, the only way you can tell the difference is, he said, the goats walk around with their tails sticking up, while the sheep have them tucked between their legs. Now, isn't that a good illustration? That's a good illustration, isn't it? Sheep can't... Sheep aren't proud. Goats aren't. Oh, my. A lot of times you can't tell the difference. It's hard to distinguish. They seem so close. Our Lord said there must be heresies among you, didn't he? He had 12 apostles, and one of them was the devil. And the other disciples couldn't. They did not know. His doctrine was correct. It had to be. Doesn't it? They went out. Somebody went out with him. Preaching. Didn't they? They went out by two. Somebody went out with him. One day maybe Simon went with him. Maybe Bartholomew. And Judas preached. And he didn't detect it. See how serious it is? See how close it can be? As our Lord said in verse 28 here, he said in our text, let them grow together. The servants wanted to pull them up. In verse 28, he said, in John 13, here we go. Verse 28, they said, who did this? He said, the devil, the enemy. Will you that we go and gather them up? I remember as a young believer, you know, thinking I knew and wanting to, you know, discipline and get rid of this person, that person. Not so much anymore because I'm afraid I'm not going to be gotten rid of. But I made the acquaintance of a young preacher and his wife years ago down in North Carolina. He seemed to believe grace, seemed to love grace. I preached for him. Cody and others preached for him and had a nice little congregation of people that seemed to love the truth. And every time we got together with him and his wife, all he wanted to talk about was church discipline. All he wanted to talk about. And he kept bringing up hypothetical situations. What if this happens? What if this person does this person? I said, well, does it happen? He said, no, but what if it does? Oh, so... Wait, don't worry about it. But all he wanted to do was discipline people. Until it was all over, all that was left, he got all the sinners out of there. Till about all was left was him and his wife. The truth be known, they may have been the only ones that needed to get gotten rid of. That's what they said. What shall we do? Tear them up? No, lest you root up the wheat with them. He said wisely, verse 30, let them grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. Now, I believe we have a little bit of a clue right here. We've already seen how that... seed that's sown by our Lord bears fruit, haven't we? Fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30. Do some have one? Sure they did. A fraction? Mustard seed? Yeah, our Lord said that. Well, it's a little bit. A little bit. A little bit of fruit is fruit. That's comfort, isn't it? But we've already seen that. They bear the fruit. Where'd they get it? Fruit of what? Spirit. And they all know it. And there's nothing tares like more than to brag about their fruit. Isn't it? Like that rich young ruler. All these things have I done from my youth up. What lack I yet? Just give me something to do and I'll do it. I'm pretty strong. I bear a lot of fruit. We've preached, we've done many wonderful works in your name. Haven't we? No, you haven't. You're an offense to me, God said. But they like to brag about their fruit. They like to talk about what they've done for the Lord. That's how you know them. That's how you have a clue right there. They like to talk about their fruit. If I ask one of you all to sincerely tell me what you've done for the Lord, to a man and to a woman, you'd say, nothing. When have I done any of these things? Wouldn't you? And even if you'd done all that's required of you, what would you say about yourself? I'm an unprofitable servant. I've come far short of the glory of God. Wouldn't you? To a man, to a woman, to a young person. They're not terrorists. Oh, I don't, you know, I haven't quite measured up, but I'm getting better. You're a stench in God's nostrils. But the next thing is, here in our text, it says, gather them together in bundles. Why is it that there's always, why are there a zillion denominations? Huh? Why are there so many denominations everywhere? When did that start? While men slept. The whole story says, while men slept, dumb dogs came in that Isaiah talked about that love to sleep, love to slumber, cannot bark, can't preach. Greedy dogs, dumb dog, DD, religion slept, the watchman slept, and the enemy sowed tares, and more tares than wheat. And there's more denominations. There used to be the church, didn't it? In the beginning, the church. Church at Ephesus. You know, the church at Ephesus believed exactly like the church of Philippi. Church of Philippi believed exactly like the church at Laodicea. If you'd ask everybody at Laodicea what they believe, they'd say, we believe just like Thyatira. To a point, eye to eye. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then when the enemy came in, started all these schisms and sects and divisions and denominations. And somebody doesn't like the truth, we say, we'll go over here and we'll have us a little club. We'll bundle together over here. And we'll get together over here. And if there's a storefront anywhere empty, we'll fill it. And we'll call it Holiness Pentecostal Charismatic Church of Deliverance and Brotherhood. That's it. If you send your money, we'll tell you all in. Bundles. Little bundles, simply. While he gathers his wheat into one big barn. One big barn. One fold. One shepherd. All these little places out of necessity. One in Fairmont, one in Kingsport, one here, and one down in Crossville out of necessity. But we're one, aren't we? And it's church in glory, church on earth, but we're one. We believe the same Lord. Same faith, same baptism, same Father. Oh yeah, we're all taught of God. Taught the same thing. What? Christ is all. Christ is all. And the Lord is the one that gathers. He gathers them, so there's a separation, it's falling away. I really believe that's what he's saying there. And you ever thought about this? Tare is singular. Wheat is plural. A tare is singular. Tares. But wheat, when you think of wheat, you think of one kernel. You think of a big field full of wheat. Think of a big container full of wheat. Sheep. When you think of sheep, you think of one. You think of a bunch of them. That's the nature of them. They're gregarious. By this shall all men know you're my disciple. This is not the church where everybody's somebody. The church is full of people where everybody's nobody. But Christ is somebody. We're just a bunch of sheep. And He's the shepherd. We're a bunch of members. He's the head. He's off the head. Seed is plural. Singular and plural. You ever thought about that? Oh, my. You know, the Lord put the truth in an inferior language, English language. More people have heard it in this language than any other, and yet it comes out like that. Singular and plural. Seed. Christ, which is one. Seed. And yet His people. Seed. One. Isn't that amazing? Well, that amazed me. Apparently it didn't amaze you. Well, anyway. All of God's people are chosen of God, born of God, redeemed of God, called of God, gathered of God in Christ, taught of God, brought of God into the fold. He said, I will gather. He planted them. He brought them. He taught them. He bought them. He redeemed them. He brings them into the fold. He'll gather them. He'll keep them. He gives them their fruit. It's all of the Lord. It's all of the Lord. Then He said, bring all of those tares, verse 41. He'll send His angels. Gather out of His kingdom, or that is, they're all mixed together, and He's going to get them out. Things that offend. Now, are an offense to me. Whoever the gospel offends is an offense to God. And whoever shares His Son's glory is an offense to God. And those things that work iniquity, those that do what they do in their name. And then verse 43 says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. As who? Yes, the sun. Son of righteousness in the kingdom of their Father. They'll shine forth. And again, they don't shine. They reflect His light. Stars don't shine. The sun shines. And who hath ears to hear? Who heard that? If you were a tare, you wouldn't like this. If you're a goat, you'd say, I hear them. I hear them all the time. Yeah, I believe that. But, we must. Yeah, but God's sheep, they love to hear cry. You can't preach Him high enough, can you? Can't preach Him enough. Suit them. Wheat and tares. Which are you? Which am I? All right. Stand with me. Our Lord, we pray, we hope we've been true to Thy Word for Your glory and honor, for the glory of Thy Son, to point Your people to the Lord Jesus Christ, look away from themselves, look to Him, to look to Him who is all our salvation. Lord, we trust, we pray, we hope. We've been taught by You, led by Your Spirit, that You have taken the things of Christ and shown them to us, and we in turn show them to others, Lord. That's what we want to do. We shine as lights in this world that we know that means that we shine forth or declare the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let us be true to Thy Word. Let us be a pillar and ground of the truth and hold forth the truth in this truth-forsaking world. O Lord, to Thee be all the glory. Glorify Thy name, O Father. Glorify Thy name. For Christ's sake, amen. You're dismissed.